As the world focuses on the U.S.-led war on terrorism, the United States is also fighting a different battle, one that many Americans are completely unaware of. The U.S. is engaged in a sophisticated effort to win over public support in countries from the Middle East to China, from Afghanistan to South America. And the tool that Washington is increasingly using to reach peoples of nations often hostile to the United States is radio. Steve Mort takes a look at how America is taking to the airwaves in its struggle for public opinion in almost every corner of the globe.
راديو سوا من المحيط إلى الخليج. والآن بث مباشر عبر الإنترنت على www.radiosawa.com.
The sound of Radio Sawa, a pop music station broadcasting to the Middle East. But this isn't just any radio station, it's run by the American government, and its studios are right here in Washington, D.C.
What we discovered was that there was a media war that was in fact going on throughout the entire Middle East, and the weapons of that war included hate radio and television, incitement to violence, disinformation, government censorship, and journalistic self-censorship. And obviously, the United States did not have a horse in this race.
Norman Pattis is the chairman of the Middle East Committee of the Broadcasting Board of Governors, which is responsible for U.S. government radio transmissions in the region. He says Radio Sawa's diet of Arabic and Western pop music, news and U.S. culture is proving to be one of America's most effective weapons in its battle for Arab opinion. A recent survey in the Jordanian capital Amman showed over 50% of the station's target audience of people over 25 said Radio Sawa was their favourite station, and 35% thought it carried the most accurate news. Norman Pattis says the figures are astonishing.
We knew that we would attract with our modern format of which is music driven, where we play contemporary Arabic and Western pop music blended together. We knew that that would attract a very, very large audience, but I don't think we believe that our news would get the traction that it's demonstrating right now as quickly as it has.
But not everyone is happy.
The United States figures that they have to go in there, be it militarily or be it via radio broadcasts, and teach the people. It's very condescending. It's very patronizing.
Deepa Fernandez is the host of the syndicated radio show Free Speech Radio News, which campaigns against what she describes as U.S. propaganda.
It's not only in the Middle East. You see it throughout Asia. You see it in South Asia, in India, in Pakistan. What this represents is the U.S. bringing their culture, which again is a culture of materialism. And what we need to mourn, what we need to look at that's happening is the loss of many cultures around the world, the westernization, the globalization of a McDonald's culture.
It's not just the United States that's upping its presence on the dial. Both Israel and the Palestinian Authority use radio to bombard the other with information, and even Osama bin Laden has taken to the airwaves on the pan-Arab TV channel Al Jazeera. Radio Sawa's Norman Pattis says in an age where America's enemies are using the media to damage the reputation of the United States, it's vital the U.S. fight back. He denies the government is simply involved in peddling propaganda.
We are not a propaganda organization. We are an organization with a journalistic mission. We are a news organization. U.S. International Broadcasting, which includes the Voice of America, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Radio Free Asia, and others, has a long tradition, a 60-year tradition of providing balanced and truthful news and information. The mission of U.S. International Broadcasting is to promote freedom and democracy through the free flow of accurate, reliable, and credible news and information.
But Deepa Fernandez is suspicious of the government's motives.
If the U.S. was serious in wanting to provide, this alternative, why not provide funds to local cultural groups, to local political groups, why not provide funds so that locals can, in fact, make their own media, they can promote their own culture, they can have their own internal political discussions.
The power of radio to reach large numbers did not go unnoticed by political leaders as far back as the 1930s.
If you want to be a real Hitler Youth, you've got to clench your teeth and endure. That's what Hitler said. Clench your teeth and endure.
During the Second World War, Germany began broadcasting more English language programs abroad to gain support, and the government banned all non-German radio programs at home. In 1938, Hitler used radio to broadcast the intentions of his Nazi government to other nations, and Britain and America in turn broadcast programs to Germany. In fact, it's claimed stations like the US-funded Radio Free Europe had a lot to do with the fall of Slobodan Milosevic in Serbia. Shanti Kalatil with the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace specializes in the political impact of communication technology. She says the task facing U.S. stations like the Voice of America is very different today than during the war.
In certain cases in the past, during the Cold War, you know, there has been tremendous local support for programs like VOA. In Poland, for instance, people look to these radio programs as a source of independent news. But I think it's also important to realize the new realities that we're facing, you know, at the present time, the fact that in a lot of these target audiences, you're not going to be encountering an audience that is sympathetic to the U.S. inherently. And so rather than simply broadcasting U.S. news, I think that the State Department, the Broadcasting Board of Governors have decided to focus on a less beat-you-over-the-head sort of approach.
Indeed, one of the latest examples of American broadcasts overseas is the new pro-American radio station in Afghanistan, believed to be part of the U.S. military's so-called psychological operations in the country. The use of radio by the American government is one of the most controversial methods of public diplomacy. Critics say the U.S. is using its position as a superpower to impose its culture on other parts of the world. But those involved in the broadcast say that's simply not true, with their mission being to carry the truth to far-flung parts of the globe, where the only other source of information available is that provided by regimes often hostile to the American way. For Common Ground, I'm Steve Mort in Washington.